This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
...a 2.0 GPA and can complete their Milliken bachelor's degree in 2 years with a full-time enrollment. The two institutions of higher learning have formed this collaboration to ease the transfer process for students. In addition, Milliken students who previously attended Richland without receiving their associate's degree can apply for a reverse transfer, which would allow them to earn the associate's while at Milliken. We can't give you a college degree. We can, however, give you more stories, podcasts, and videos at nowdecatur.com.
This hasn't happened in 148 years. I'm Dave Anthony. Fox News, the House will deliver impeachment articles to the Senate today for a cabinet secretary.
The Biden border catastrophe is the number one priority of House Republicans, and it remains the number one priority of the American people.
House Speaker Mike Johnson tells Fox the Senate must hold a trial on the articles accusing the head of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, of ignoring laws, allowing record illegal immigration. But the Senate's Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says there is no crime here, and there may not be a trial.
As I've said repeatedly, impeachment should never be used to settle a policy disagreement. That would set a horrible precedent for the Congress.
Speaker Johnson also tells Fox they will not follow the Senate's lead on the stalled foreign aid bill.
The will of the House is to address it in single subjects.
Meaning separate votes this week on military aid to Ukraine and Taiwan and Israel. It's war cabinets met again after the Israeli military leader vowed to respond to Iran's weekend attack, though most of the drones or missiles were shot down. Fox's Trey Yingst is standing next to the shell of one of them in Tel Aviv.
This is about 70% of the entire missile that was launched from Iranian territory. The Israelis don't know what the exact target was, but they do know it was either shot down or it separated as it entered Israeli territory. We also know that there was a 500-kilogram warhead on top of this missile. That's about half a ton of explosives.
Former President Trump has arrived at a New York court for day two of jury selection at his first criminal trial. More than half the prospective jurors questioned yesterday were excused, saying they could not be impartial. Trump attorney Alina Haba tells Fox,
there's no chance of a fair trial here. Remember, just because it's a jury doesn't mean that the judge can't sway them to go one way or another.
The former president just posted on Truth Social, the judge hates him, and the trial's rigged and unconstitutional. He's charged with falsifying records related to 2016 payments to keep quiet an alleged affair he denies. America's listening to Fox News.
Don't let everyday aches and pains keep you from living your best life.
I don't think I really understood what people meant when they talked about pain until I started feeling it myself.
Start feeling better every day with Relief Factor, a daily supplement designed to support your body's fight against aches and pains.
Not only do I move better without pain, I just feel better.
Created by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients that target four metabolic pathways to address pain. Relief Factor doesn't just mask aches and pains, it helps reduce or even eliminate them.
Today, I do the things I love, and it doesn't occur to me to think about pain.
You can feel the difference all day, every day.
Join the over 1 million people who have tried Relief Factor's 3-week quick start kit. It's only $19.95 and comes with our feel better or your money back guarantee. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
As Congress considers all those foreign aid bills, another one that's controversial that was blocked for a few days this month is on a path now for approval.
A bill reforming and reauthorizing Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act has officially passed the House and now heads to the Senate. Section 702 of FISA allows for the warrantless surveillance of foreign persons, which the intelligence community says is vital for stopping terror attacks from happening. The bill renews the program for 2 years and contains a substantial amount of reforms, but its lack of a warrant requirement has received pushback from both Republicans and Democrats. The Senate will try to pass the bill before Friday when Section 702 expires. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stocks could rebound from all the recent selling. Dow futures up more than 200 points. The Olympic flame lit today in Greece ahead of the Summer Games in Paris.
Reverential applause in Olympia. That the moment the Olympic torch was lit, not directly from the sun's rays as intended, it was too cloudy for that, but from a flame ignited during yesterday's dress rehearsal. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach says the Games can be a unifying force.
With wars and conflicts on the rise, people are fed up with all the hate.
The Olympic torch will travel through Greece before a mammoth land and sea journey across France and its global territories. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
A college basketball star has gone pro. Caitlin Clark was the first pick in last night's WNBA draft on ESPN, taken by the Indiana Fever.
I've dreamed of this moment since I was in second grade, and it's taken a lot of hard work, a lot of ups and downs, but more than anything, just trying to soak it in.
Caitlin Clark led Iowa to the national championship game after setting the record as the leading all-time scorer in men's or women's college basketball. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Fairchild from Hickory Point Bank. Whether you're looking for a loan to expand your business or a service-minded place to do your everyday banking, experience counts. And here at Hickory Point Bank, we have years and years of it. But experience doesn't just mean longevity. It means knowing when to rely on the tried and true and when to offer a more innovative solution. It means using everything we've learned to meet the banking needs of people just like you. Hickory Point Bank, member FDIC.
Here's a look at your news. Channel 20 storm team forecast today. We've got a chance of rain and thunderstorms later this afternoon. Mostly cloudy and windy and a high of 82. Then tonight, showers and possible thunderstorms, low of 63 and windy. Then Wednesday's partly sunny and windy, high of 72. Thursday, another chance of rain, mostly sunny and a high near 70. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 65 degrees. Your WSOI time is 8:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Byers & Company. You know, it's kind of fitting after the big NCAA tournament, the WNBA draft last night. There's been a lot of talk about empowering women. Locally, it was on stage at the Lincoln just a couple of Saturdays ago. We got Natalie in studios with us from the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation next.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Whether you're empowering or not, I couldn't help feeling the short hood with Holly Rowe from ESPN last night. You know, having been tiny my entire life, having to stand next to 6'7" basketball players, I can't imagine how sore her arm was from just holding the microphone up here the entire night. And I kept thinking, in the tournament, they figured that out. They brought a stepladder out, right? So the shot, you couldn't really tell. That was at the men's tournament. I think they probably needed that in New York, in Brooklyn last night.
She was doing the Lady Liberty pose the whole time, the Statue of Liberty the whole night.
So you could see, like, which body part is she looking at in this interview? Stomach, chest, you know? And I felt for her the whole night because I've been there. And those were, like, really tall people. You know, you go to a basketball event. I was happy for everyone, including, I didn't even realize Kate Martin got drafted until you mentioned it earlier in the second round by the Las Vegas Aces, which made me even happier because she was so much fun to watch this year. Okay, has it been 2 weeks?
It has.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're in that weird rolling from spring into summer event season where there's just always something coming up. But I didn't know what – I mean, I knew what to expect. We'd talked about it for weeks, brought in a lot of the speakers and the organizer and the person who was involved with coaching all the speakers. But I didn't know what it was going to be like that night until showtime, right?
Right.
We knew there were 600-plus people there, big audience. It got there, and I had to drop Lindsay off with some camera equipment. So we saw the lights of the theater and a long line of people down Main Street and saw the trolley roll up and drop people off. And it felt like a big show, right? And then we got in, and it was just packed. And there's that energy of a live audience that they're all talking, and then everybody's got to get quiet, and then the show has to start. And then you got to have a first speaker. That was the job of Laura Cornell Kennedy, who joins us in studios along with Natalie Beck, president of the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation. That's what she said. What an overwhelming success just from me sitting in the audience. I don't know what other kind of feedback you've gotten.
Oh, we've received all positive feedback. Yeah. So we're very thankful for that. I said to the gals, all the gals in the cast and Carl, I said, woo, we set the bar really high for next year. So it was phenomenal. We couldn't have hoped for a better show.
Yeah, but setting the bar high is what it's all about. And I think now that people can see what it is, maybe it's easier to sort of prepare for. You'd be the very first out of the gate, which is not ever the easy spot. I mean, you don't want to be first and you don't want to be right behind somebody who knocks it out of the park.
Right. So for me, I mean, it was like being the warm-up band, and I'm not used to being a warm-up band. I'm used to being the band,
yeah.
Kind of when I'm as a trainer and a public speaker. So it was very different, very different.
Because you're coming out cold.
Yeah, everybody said, oh, you'll never be nervous. You do this kind of for a living. Well, I don't do this for a living, not a scripted thing and stuff like that. But, man, I got to tell you, the 40 minutes before seemed like an eternity down in that green room. I'm not kidding. And everybody's having their fake eyelashes put on and doing all the girl stuff, which kind of is not me either. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm in Never Never Land. Well, you know, who's with me here on this one?
Yeah. You know what? I like the human side of you offering that up, because everybody puts on a face and acts like they're not nervous, and I just it is going out in front of 600 people or in an audience that you really can't see from the stage because it just looks like darkness, you know, when the lights are on. It's never been done before and you're all out there uncomfortable. One suggestion I want to make about, you know, someone's length of legs and chair they were sitting in, because I worried that she wasn't gonna have enough blood in her ankles to stand up and go speak because they were just sort of dangling all night. But it had to be nerve-wracking. I mean, just coming out, because you got to set the tone.
Mm-hmm. Right. I tried to trade off with people, and nobody would do it, you know.
So how did that process work? You know, were you told right away you were going to open? Did that, like, unfold during the preparation?
No, we didn't know until about, I don't know, I'm going to say at the most 2 weeks, probably 10 days a week beforehand. And we got an email that had the agenda on it.
All right, so that you saw the order.
That's when we knew. And I'm like, oh, what does this really mean? They want to get the worst done with.
No.
They want, you know, I couldn't figure out what it meant. First, you're in your headspace about that. Like, sure. What does it mean? They just want this over with and let the funny people go next. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I just feel like, I couldn't figure out what it meant. And then I thought, well, do like you do in life, put on your big girl pants and just do it.
Right.
You know,
your story was so personal though. And you know, I don't know you in that way. I mean, we've known each other for a very long time, you know, from a kind of business and then mutual friends and all that. But your story was very personal, about a thing that a lot of people go through, but not everyone talks about.
Right.
How hard was that to share that with 600 people? Mm-hmm.
Well, tough. I mean, just as you said, I think a lot of people, even people who knew my story, so like I didn't do it for my husband until like about 5 nights before we were on.
Okay.
And he goes, you know, Laura, at the end of it, he goes, I live this with you. And I had no idea this is how it was going for you, you know, like processing and how you thought of it. And so although a lot of people, I think, thought I was going to talk about my business or, you know, doing startups or where to work or any of the things that I've done in the community, this was the thing that was me.
Yeah.
You know, and has changed me enormously.
Well, I know that anyone who's gone through this with family members, with Alzheimer's, to be incredibly relatable, because I fortunately haven't had that experience, but you delivered it in a way that allowed me to understand a glimpse inside of that. Is something. And I thought, wow, okay, this is going to be a night that, you know, yeah, there's going to be some laughs and there's going to be some fun, but it's also a night about taking strength in the worst moments of your life, which is really kind of all of our stories, right?
Exactly. I know when the Herald and Review came and we were talking, I said, you know, the thing I've enjoyed the most about this is, for the most part, yes, we have the firefighter and we have Amber, but for the most part, we are all ordinary people, normal women, just that you'd see any day walking down the sidewalk. And yet the thing that I think is amazing about all of them is they took what life handed them. And like I said, they just sucked it up. They put on their big girl pants and moved on because that's what we do. Every single one of us, and every one of us has that kind of a story.
But I thought the women in the audience, I mean, there were plenty of men there, which was great. But I don't know. I mean, I think we could open our eyes and see strength in different ways and evolve and get better as people. But I don't know that the resonating message that got through that night was something that I will really understand the way the women in the audience understood it, because I just didn't have to face things or deal with things because of society and the way it was, the same way other people did. Right. Does that make any sense?
It does, but I would also say to you, if we had a stage of men and I was sitting in there, I bet I would feel the same way. I would learn something, I would relate to it, but at the other end I would say, but I can't totally get it because it's not the way I experience society and life. So I think that could go both ways.
It probably could, but you know, women have been held back a little bit more than men. And I think that what owning the stories to me outside looking in that night, the connective tissue was about women owning their strength, even in the worst of situations, and lifting that up and connecting across that room in so many ways. I mean, story after story after story, and all very different, right?
Right.
Which I thought was amazing. So I knew that 7 minute thing was a load of baloney. I'm telling you, I've done this for a long time.
You have no idea how much has been cut from everybody's.
Well, I know, because, you know, depending on your point of view, 7 minutes can be a long time or very little time, depending on your storytelling abilities. And that's okay, though. It was fine. I didn't once kind of like check my watch or feel like, these stories need the room to exist, you know, in their entirety. You can't edit this. I mean, it's working, right? Did you feel that way sitting on stage after you got done?
Yeah. I mean, after I got done, oh, wow. You know, I was the first one to be able to really relax and enjoy, even though I'd heard everybody's stories how many times, you know, and their evolution of it. It was, and I never felt like it was really long, long, long either.
No,
I didn't.
It felt proportionate.
Yeah.
You know, which I know you were probably worried about just logistically, right?
Yes.
But it didn't feel drawn out, or it didn't feel like, sometimes you go to things, and we all do, and it's a good cause, and you're going, oh, my God, when is this going to get over? Right. I didn't sense anyone in the audience felt that way.
You know, that goes to the amount of devotion from each of the speakers in Jeanette. They rehearsed, as Laura said, that there was an evolution, and every word they said was needed, and so that was really on point. I will say next year's event is on a Friday and we have 8 speakers instead of 10.
Okay.
So we start an hour later. So we are aware of that commitment time wise. And so we're going to rotate every other year between 8 and 10 speakers in Friday and Saturday. And so that we have different approach on that, but we do want to be mindful and we do want it to be impactful. And so yes, it is a lot, but I think they just went beautifully, and I wasn't aware of the time either. So that's the point, that you're just in the story in the moment.
Right. So describe the experience, because, you know, now is going to be hitting people up now. You know, this is going to be your job. You know, how about this next year? You know, did you find the experience rewarding?
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, I'm much older than Marie, for example. I mean, you know, I was on the end of the spectrum of the age. So in experiences, we all brought something to the table. We all got to share that over time. It was a lot of work. I mean, even for somebody, and I say like me, who had a profession doing training and speaking in front of groups and keynoting to thousands of people, it was a lot of work. It was exciting getting to know women. The truth is, one of the women came to me halfway through and said, you know, I thought you knew everybody. I feel so alone. And I said, I know Natalie.
Yeah.
I know of, you know, Cheryl. I know of Dana. I didn't know anybody,
right.
You know, and nobody knew me. And so watching that dance with people about how we form relationships for me as an observer was very interesting, and it challenged me. I mean, I'm not that person. So, I mean, it was good.
What was the reaction after?
So, First off, obviously, when I got to my chair, I was like, huh, okay, I did it. Don't know if I did good. Don't know. Don't
but
care.
But it's done. Right.
Don't care. You know, I played. I did it. I don't care. But I'll give you a quick, hopefully it's quick example. So the next morning, every day I made the decision that I would practice my script and its evolution when I went to the bathroom. So I'd sit on the toilet and I'd go, sometimes I'd read my script. Sometimes I'd practice it in my mind. You know, I do, but every time I went to the bathroom, and I'm an old lady, I go a lot. So the next morning I wake up and I go to the bathroom and I start, you know, seems to me as though I've always, and all of a sudden I thought, no, you're not Pavlov's dog. Resist this, you know, conditioning. Right. And I talked to Linda, and Linda said she laid down in bed that night and she was practicing her song at night in bed, and she started singing, and she said the same thing. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. It's over.
It's become part of the routine. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is, I mean, you do become as immersed in it as the producer is. It's a lot of work, and you have to give up things that you maybe thought were important that obviously somebody said that isn't that important
right.
to us.
Well, you shared what Randy said to you. What did other people say to you after?
Well, you know, I'll give you one example would be that when I left the theater, I was by myself going to meet my family and going over to the after party at the Decatur Club. And a woman stopped me and she said, do you have a minute? She said, I want to tell you, I'm going through caregiving and you gave me three things that I'm going to start to do. And I was like, could you tell me the three things?
Because
right. I, a lot of times, like, say something and then somebody will say it and I go, did I say that?
Right.
I didn't realize I said that, but it was how you processed it. And she told me her three things and I said, it sounds like you're on a good path.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way it is. So, I mean, for me, that was one of the reactions that was very meaningful. Somebody else wrote to me on Facebook. She said, Laura, this was so you. You know, I worked with you at Milliken and I just didn't know if it would still be you. And I said, even with my false eyelashes, it's yeah. still me.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing. You know, when you do, you've done this for a very long time, you know, getting up in front of people, but this was completely different. You weren't there to bring out their story or to connect people. You were there right. to sort of bear it all and had to be the very first one to go out and do it, which I cannot tell you how tough that is. You're alone, even though you're surrounded by people on a stage and no one has read the room yet. No one knows what right. kind of mood the audience right. is in. No one's really been to one of these, or for most part, so they don't know what right. to expect. It's just mystery time,
yeah.
Which I felt for you, you know, just walking up to that microphone, like, oh my God, this has got to feel like the loneliest spot in a room full of 600 people.
I mean, she was picked for a reason to anchor it and to kick us off. She was the first cast member to say yes to us. And we knew that we had that strength in her. So I wasn't surprised when Jeanette selected her to kick us off. So I appreciated her. And it did need to go perfectly because she calmed all the other ladies, when you talk to them, they're like, okay,
yeah,
we're ready.
I tell you, poor Jamie Moscato, get her a footstool. I was sitting up there watching, and I thought the chairs were all different heights, right? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of different.
Yeah, it's supposed to look like your living room.
Well, it did. It,
yeah.
Just to describe the setting for people who need to go next year but didn't go this year, it felt like kind of a, you know, a familial sort of space where people had, and you never know when you're sitting up there. You know, George Bush, the elder George Bush, once looked at his watch during a debate, and it was like a huge thing because right. It meant that he was bored or couldn't wait for it to get over. And so now you got all these eyeballs on you. And even though you're not speaking, you're sitting up on a stage and you don't want to wonder and you don't want to, you know. So, but I got like focused on this chair right? because her legs didn't touch the ground.
Right.
And I thought, ma'am, I hope when she gets up,
yeah.
it's all good. But it was amazing. I couldn't believe the variety. You know, there were threads, I think, that ran through the whole evening that you could pick up on. But were you even surprised you picked all these people?
No, I was very surprised, and I think I've shared that with you. Some of the reasons I selected particular women did not come out in their talks at all.
Yeah, what you thought would be the story wasn't the story.
Right. So I do think that's just the grace of the path that mm-hmm. they get led down, and it's what's on their heart and their spirit at that time. And then also how Jeanette pulls those nuggets out. Jeanette's behind the scenes. She does a lot of one-on-ones with them. They are so prepared by the time they take the stage. And I think that that is the key to this whole experience being so empowering for the women on stage and the audience.
What's your feedback been from just audience?
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
It couldn't have gone any better. We're so happy. We're so happy that the community embraced the speakers, that they felt the love while they were on stage and vice versa. And I mean, immediately we said, okay, we're bringing it back next year. So, there was in the program and there is on our website an ability to nominate speakers, because that's the key. I love that Laura said she didn't know everyone. That's intentional. We want to widen circles and we want very different walks of life and where they're at in their journey to be on that stage.
And is Laura's the first one we've interviewed post event?
Yes.
Were there similar reactions from the other participants? I mean, about how their experience was?
I think so. You would have spoken to them more immediately.
Yeah, we've spoken and we've texted a lot together.
Right. And, 141 texts the day after, and those texts were, I was like, wait. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad I'm not in on that.
I know. But it was. Yeah, everybody felt very similar. And I will give Jeanette a lot of credit. My sister died a month before, and I have to tell you that I seriously thought, is this the right time for me to do this? And I called her and she said, you're all ready. Why do you need to talk to me? And I said, I need to understand. If I'm going to do this, how do I do this? How do I say she died? How do I go through that? And she helped me with that. And that was good because I was like, they can do it with 9. They don't need 10. You know?
No, but I mean, that's a natural feeling. Yeah, you're going through. It's one thing to share your story, and it's one thing to be able to process your story before you share your story. I mean, those are two very different things, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate it. I thought it was great. And I knew once you sat down, okay, we're in for a good ride here. This is going to be because I didn't have any expectations other than I know some of you.
Right. Yeah.
But it turned out there's a lot about some
people
of you I didn't know, right?
And I think that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. And I just thought to each person with their own personality, their own experience and their own, you know, it was just a great variety and what a nice evening. And I'm telling you, if you missed it, Nick, you can go next year, because it is worth going and it's every bit. It's not one of those things just to go and raise money for a good cause.
No.
Although certainly that's, you know, was the case. A lot of money was handed out that night.
Right. So yes, we had the She Gave Giving Circle awarded $25,000 in grants, and the cast has a party upcoming that Laura's hosting so graciously, and they will view it together for the first time. Show.
Now is that scarier than doing it?
Yeah. You know, I'm like going to be like one of those stars that says I never watch it after it's done.
I understand.
Right. Yeah. Because oh my gosh, how critical can we be? Yes.
But once they put their stamp of approval on it,
and
it will release to the public.
And
so we will have an opportunity for everyone. It lives on the She Gave site that Jeanette has.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's what she said. Oh, I keep getting those confused in my mind. And it'll live there. And so everyone can see it. And I think that will go to helping recruit next year too.
I agree.
They'll know some of the women on the stage and they can watch it and be assured it's a wonderful experience.
All right. At the end of the program, what were you feeling?
I would say I was feeling tons of pride. Tons of pride in our community. Like I said at the beginning, you know, wow, you showed up and it wasn't mandatory and you didn't know what you were getting. I said to somebody earlier in the week, yeah, you're going to pay $30 to hear me talk, and you could hear me talk for free all day if you wanted to, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, this is crazy. So enormous pride in our community, enormous pride in the women that were sitting next to me. I mean, you have no idea how so many of them developed. I mean, you saw a finished product and they made their own journeys. And, you know, it just reminds me too that I just thought, you know, there's a million stories in this great city and we don't even know a fraction of them.
Yeah. That's absolutely spot on. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good luck with the viewing party. Not one person is going to be happy after watching that. And then I don't know why, because it was fantastic, but that's just what we do as people, right?
Yes.
Good stuff. Laura, thank you for coming in and sharing again, because I think it's important not only for the cause, because how much money was handed out on stage?
$25,000.
Okay. So and if you look at the organizations that received that funding, those donations are significant to them. It's real impact.
It is real impact. And those were all voted on by the 141 women in the giving circle.
Yeah. And do we know what the men to women ratio was in the audience that night?
I don't know that.
I mean, I felt
like there were more men there than I thought would be. But
yeah, I thought so too, but it still was.
No, I don't know the ratio.
The majority.
I mean, I can probably guess looking at some photos, but yeah.
You know, it's funny because you can't see, and all I could see is the very front row that was sitting right there. And like, there were like eight men there. And I'm like, what the heck?
So the only sounding board you had was like the eight guys. Yeah.
Eight men, just kind of like, you know, but it was okay. They were great. They were wonderful to be there and supportive. And I appreciated it. And you guys have been so supportive, Brian. Thank you so much.
It's our great pleasure. Natalie is a visionary at the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, and I think her efforts to bring everyone to the table and have these conversations and experiences, the only thing you can do is learn. I mean, I don't know where the downside in that is, so we're happy to support, and we're thrilled to be a sponsor. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break for bottom of the hour stories and news. When we get back here, we've got the final half hour of today's show, and we'll be giving Cardinals tickets away. Stay tuned.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. Governor Pritzker's plan to create a new state agency to oversee Illinois' various early childhood programs received unanimous approval from the Senate last Friday. That was just one of well over 200 bills passed by the Senate late last week. Another bill that passed would give social workers and their employers the legal scope to carry and administer meds like Narcan to clients in crisis. The Senate also unanimously approved a pair of bills to require health insurance plans in Illinois to cover infertility treatments and wigs for those with hair loss caused by a medical condition. All those bills are headed to the House. Heritage Behavioral Health Center will host its Gallery of Hope on Saturday. It features a display of artwork by Macon and DeWitt County students. There will be over 200 works of art on display tied to mental health. The event is at Rock Springs Nature Center from 1 to 4. It's free and open to the public. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website, nowdecatur.com.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Back in court in New York this morning, former President Trump on social media again complaining about the judge and the partial gag order in his criminal case. Nobody's chosen for the jury yet. More than half the candidates brought in yesterday say they couldn't be impartial.
One of the prospects, a Manhattan bookseller, said, quote, "I feel that no one is above the law, whether it's the former prez, the sitting prez, or a janitor." One woman left the court telling a court officer, "I just couldn't do it."
Fox's Eric Sean. Israel's war cabinet is reportedly divided over a response to Iran launching drones and missiles at Israel Saturday.
Many Western countries condemned the 300-strong missile and drone assault on Israel, but are still urging Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu not to respond in a way that might make things worse.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. NASA confirms discarded equipment from the International Space Station crashed into a home in Naples, Florida last month. America's listening to Fox News.
It took more than makeup, costumes, music and lights to get me on stage. It took the gift of an organ donor.
Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part.
Be an organ donor, because life does go on.
Register at lifegoeson.com.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org. Sponsored by Oxfam America.
Been so pretty. What do the next 3 days look like?
Today, we've got a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, with that coming a little later. Mostly cloudy today, though, and windy with a high of 82. Tonight, showers and possible thunderstorms, a low of 63 with some more wind. Wednesday, partly sunny and windy, high of 72. Thursday, 40% chance of showers, mostly sunny and a high near 70. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 66 degrees. Your WSOI time is 8:33.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Just a small town girl,
We are back here on a Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Thanks again to all of our guests. If you've missed any of the interviews, you can check out the podcast driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group at NowDecatur.com or wherever you get your podcast. So I go to the Capitol Facts yesterday, and there was, you can see the clips online of the protests blocking traffic into O'Hare Airport yesterday, where people literally had to walk into, like, from the highway to the airport with
That's
luggage and everything else. And the governor was at an event, not there, but at an event, and was asked about it because the Democratic National Convention is coming to Chicago this election year. And, of course, one of the most notorious conventions in the history was the 1968 convention in Chicago with, you know, the Vietnam War and everything else that was going on. And the governor said the following. Well, let me give you the question, because that's an important part. We all report the answer. How often do we report the question? Because it's not like the governor called a press conference and said, let me give you my thoughts on this. He was at another event and was asked about it. And if you've been to one of these things, you know that the questions from the reporter, the pool that travels with the governor, is rarely about the event that they're at. It's always about something else. So the question asked, Governor, could you also talk about what's going on at O'Hare this morning? And I'm not sure because you've been here doing this, but there's been a rather large protest. People have had to literally walk from the highway to O'Hare because of the Palestinian protest. And it seems to perhaps a preview of what we might see for the DNC this summer. Okay? That was the question. Pritzker says, well, first of all, I support the idea that people, you know, should express their First Amendment rights and protest if they would like to. I do not think they should be disruptive of the traffic of people trying to get from one place to another. I think they can have their voices heard and let people move along their day. I'm convinced that law enforcement ought to make sure that those byways and highways are open for people and still be respectful of those protesters. Question, are you concerned people are going to watch this tonight and say, I'm out of here this summer when the DNC comes because look at what's already going on today? Pritzker, look, there are protests at every convention. I have to say every 4 to every 8 years. And so I don't think it's any surprise to people that there would be protests. They come in all shapes and sizes. And I don't think that anybody's unfamiliar with the protests that have occurred because of the Israel-Hamas war. But I do think, again, we have to make sure that at all times that people are able to get where they want to go while at the same time respecting people who are protesting. The cops should have – you clearly – and here is the, literally, the Illinois General Assembly statute about what is allowed under public demonstrations law, right? And doing what they were doing yesterday is not.
What is the item of contention? Everything he said seemed pretty standard.
Oh, because people were saying he was trying to have it both ways or it was watered down. I'm just telling you, he was responding to a question about a hypothetical about what might happen.
He was trying to have it both ways.
No, I meant like, but they didn't mean that as a complimentary way, the way you're saying it.
But I mean, he literally was, hey, you should be able to do this. We got to keep business going.
Right.
I mean, he was trying. It was intentional.
Yeah. You can't, I mean, if they're not standing in the middle of the highway, you know what this looks like there to get into O'Hare. Where are they going to be protesting there?
There's no, it's all fences.
Yeah,
and,
that's
I mean,
what I'm saying.
There's nowhere else to be.
You can't have them there to hear their voices without them blocking the road.
You'd have to be in like the parking, the cell phone lot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really it.
So it is already against the law. Your right to protest does not give you the right to prevent other people, you know, egress or ingress. I mean, that's just not part of it. But a lot of that has happened, and they have allowed it to happen, not just in Chicago, but everywhere else. Blocking bridges, blocking traffic on highways.
This is not new, though. I mean, I don't know why. Every time that this comes up, I don't know why it's like always brought up as like now it's. I mean, there are famous marches across bridges. There are.
Okay.
I mean this is forever.
If you're trying to go to Chicago O'Hare Airport yesterday, this was news. because you were literally walking in from the highway with your luggage.
It's not a symptom of like modern society and modern protests. It's just,
I think it is a modern protest. I think there's a lot more of this today in the name of protest than there used to be. And I think some of that started during Black Lives Matter, but it certainly has carried through to this, what we're going through now in the Middle East. But blocking people getting in and out of airports, blocking highways and bridges, it's not safe.
No. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just marveling at that it's being reported as new.
So if murder has gone on forever, so if someone gets murdered yesterday, it's not news?
No, I didn't say news. I said new.
Oh, but I don't think anybody said it was new. I just don't recall the last time O'Hare that the arteries into that airport were blocked by protests. Yeah,
specifically, I don't remember one happening like that.
And if you were trying to fly out,
yeah, I'd be mad. I'd be super mad.
So my question is, what does it, even if you want to go ultra progressive on the left of this cause, what good is it doing you?
At best is awareness. Just at best.
But there is less taste for, I want awareness.
I know. I'm not saying it's the
There's
most
There's not a single
one.
Human being coming in or out of that airport yesterday that was going to give 2 seconds of interest of why they were doing what they were doing.
Travel's a big deal for most people. They're on edge anyway. They're trying to get to so I guess maybe it's more about, hey, it's the system. Look, we can shut it down. Listen to us. Not so much the travelers. I can't even.
It's boneheaded. Yeah. In its intent. It absolutely is. It doesn't, you're not going to win one soul by doing what was done yesterday. You're just not. Not the people that work there, not the people trying to travel, not the system, not the cops, not the people. No one is going to go, oh, well, now I'm going to pay attention to this and read your bullet points because you've shut down, you know, literally interstate commerce.
I agree with that.
Which is illegal.
Right. I agree 100% with everything you just said. The question that I have is like, you got these bullet points, you want them to be heard. What are you listening any other time?
I'm certainly not listening if I'm trying to get a plane somewhere.
I understand that, but it's not like, well, here, let me fly to where I'm going and then I'll read them when I get there.
You treat me with respect. I will treat you with respect. What they did yesterday was take prisoner of an airport. That was not, I mean, literally, you're not going to single, people are, well, let's just say it's hard to get people to pay attention to you to begin with. I mean, even in a peaceful way that's not blocking interstate commerce, it's hard to get them to pay attention, period. When you do this, it's almost impossible for them to, for people to go, oh, wait a minute, let me rethink this.
I understand. And what did you say? This is the Hamas protest. I didn't catch this.
Yes. So, and it happened. There was bridges blocked in San Francisco. It wasn't just Chicago, but this is the first time I can recall the airport being shut off.
Yeah, I don't remember anything like that.
And that's a busy airport. You think about
it's one of the busiest in the world.
And then think about not just people flying. Think about the cab drivers and Uber drivers, the people that make their living going in and out of that, the people that have to work in the food commissary. It's not just the travelers.
One of the airports, Atlanta and O'Hare, one of them is the busiest in the world and the other one is the most second. Bodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's one of the two.
And think in about the bodies and then how many bodies have to be there for those bodies.
And it's already tough to park and get on the little train. I mean, it can be tough at O'Hare anyway.
So I think that there's a certain amount of this that. I think that there are people who absolutely believe in their cause, whether it's something I can ever understand or not. And they're there in their minds for the right reason. I think there's a number of people that get involved and swayed into this stuff because it feels good to be righteous about stuff. And I don't even know if they have a clear understanding of what it is that they're doing. We get a big group of people out there that are willing to shut down a highway and break laws to try to get you to pay attention to their point of view on an issue that's on everyone's television set 24/7 just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. I understand that.
And I don't know who it would make sense to.
Right.
Other than the people who declare victory by things like we shut them down. And they're the only people declaring a victory.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense to me, and not particular to this protest, any protest throughout time. It's like But also, how do you get heard? What do you do when they're not listening, when they're not?
What does everybody else do? How do you sell product? How do you get anything? I mean, all of life is about getting your story heard.
I understand, but some
protesters aren't unique to that.
No, but they lack organization. They lack
they got
infrastructure,
more organization
funding.
In some ways, more funding in some
well,
ways.
Well, yeah, be at the park at 3 o'clock or be.
I think
in front
that
of-
you're underestimating, in particular, the groups that are involved in this kind of thing on the left end of the spectrum of politics. There's a big apparatus there. I'm not saying everybody that participates in it is that, but there's a lot more money and a lot more organization. Look at the money Black Lives Matter raised.
Oh, for sure.
That's not a shoestring be at a park at 3 o'clock.
But there's a difference between the organization Black Lives Matter and the movement of Black Lives Matter. One seemed to be a grifter and the other.
Oh, after
seemed,
the fact though. I mean, after all the money poured in and the right, organization poured in. And that often happens too, right? With these people in righteous causes is they get a taste of the money you can make off of it. And that happens over and over and over again on any side of the political,
right.
You know, scale. I'm just saying yesterday this was just dumb, yeah. And it's not going to change a single mind. And in fact, you know the way people are with travel anyway, and then people just trying to get to their jobs so they can feed their families, they're going to be less inclined to listen to you.
Yeah. My take on you reading the governor's comments, he seemed reasonable and measured. I don't disagree with that either. Yeah. I mean, he basically said you can't be breaking the law and the law enforcement should be in there doing what
right.
they do.
But what has the message been to law enforcement over the last 5 years?
I don't know in the context of what you're asking.
With protesters.
What is it?
They've been put on the sidelines.
Let it happen and
yes.
clean it up?
Yes.
Pick it off.
You think
the
those decisions
founders?
Are made by police departments?
No. Now you want to get to the root of the fire before it
Yeah, not just here, by the
yeah,
way. I mean,
in
everywhere.
General,
yeah.
In general, yeah.
And I'm not saying go in and 1968 style with batons. I'm talking about they've just been stand down. Let it play out. There's been plenty of things that have happened in the last number of years that are illegal when it comes to the protest movement. And then the vast majority of the people that are involved in that have been peaceful upstanding citizens that are there for the right reason, you know, their cause. We lump everything together, like literally not skin color, but black and white. I mean, we do it all the time.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the people are. But going out and purposely blocking the artery into the, you know, the busiest airport in the United States of America, and particularly with people who are working fast food jobs or loading bags or doing, that might even be more like the scale of people you would like to try to reach, you know, about the world and how it exists. You're just keeping them from their livelihood. Can't imagine someone goes, okay, great. I just lost a day's worth of wages. Let me buy into your cause.
Yeah. And it's even more so this giving all the grace possible. Oh, we got their attention. Great. Now what? What happened from it? No, it didn't convert. It didn't change the course of anything.
And then what I want to know is the first time one of these folks gets run over by a car on a highway, are we going to throw the person in the car in jail?
It depends if you're plowing into it.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they have created an unsafe condition on, you know, what the highways in Chicago look like, right?
Mm-hmm. Just normal traffic, sort of like.
If Alec Baldwin is responsible for that person getting shot because somebody didn't do the right thing with the bullet, how do you put 1,000 people out on a highway and they're not accountable for traffic accidents? I feel like there's sympathy and there's trying to understand different point of views, and I'm down for all of that. But in some of this, it just feels like common sense has gone out the window. You just can't do this. And more importantly than that, to your cause, it's not effective. It has the exact opposite effect. How do we turn more people off? Not how do we get more people to understand? And to me, there's civil disobedience. There's your right to protest. I've told you many times I'm allergic to it. It's just not in my DNA. I'd rather actually try to do something than do that. But I respect everyone's right to do that. But even in the state of Illinois, not hard to find. Here's the verbiage of what's illegal and illegal when it becomes your right. And your right doesn't supersede other people's rights. And I know that the situations in Palestine are awful and Gaza. I get all that. This isn't even a political argument to me. This is just a why do you think this is a good idea? And why do you think you have the right to shut everyone's life down like this? Because your cause, whatever that cause may be. And I would feel this way left, right, center. I mean, it's not a political thing to me. And I think the governor was exactly right. You have the right to protest. You do not have the right to keep other people from living their lives or earning their livelihood or catching the connection because you've got to go have surgery. So you just don't have that right. But I imagine that it's really tough to be in law enforcement with these kind of things because you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right. And the sheer volume of people that are there, it could go sideways.
It could. But what if you're going to call out law enforcement, like the governor did in a way, then you got to be there to back them when they do exactly what you just told them to do. And I think that's the Illinois State Police, if I'm not. I could be wrong about that. I don't think it's the Chicago Police Department. I think that system and those highways in and around, I think the ISP is sort of in charge of that. I don't know what kind of manpower they have or, you know, whatever. Anyway, it will be this way in Chicago. Or it will be like let me take a break and I'll tell you what they did in Tampa. We went to the Republican National Convention to do the show a few years ago. Mitt Romney was the candidate. And sometimes Tampa's a very different place than Chicago, right, just logistically. But sometimes those protesters don't get within 2 miles of the thing they're there protesting.
Yeah.
You'll see it on the news, but you can be there and never see it. Tell you all about that on the other side of the break. Here's Nick with your 3-day forecast. Stay tuned.
Today, we've got a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 4 p.m. It's going to be mostly cloudy and windy today with a high of 82. For tonight, showers and possible thunderstorms, low of 63 with wind. And Wednesday, partly sunny and windy, high near 72. Thursday, 40% chance of rain after 2 p.m., mostly sunny and a high near 70. The current temperature in downtown Decatur, 68 degrees. Your WSOY time is 8:51.
What's up, Doc? A brand new medical podcast brought to you by Decatur Orthopedic Center. Join Dr. Sams and Dr. Sullivan as they take a peek behind the drapes into the world of orthopedics. They will explore the newest trends in orthopedics, sports injuries, and musculoskeletal health. These leading orthopedic surgeons will go into detail about surgery, life as a surgeon, and the impacting change of orthopedics. Find What's Up, Doc at nowdecatur.com under the podcast section or anywhere you get your podcasts.
The Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater cannot wait to welcome Sister Hazel with special guest Deep Blue Something live May 31st. Sister Hazel playing hits like Change Your Mind and All for You. Plus show opener Deep Blue Something. Tickets on sale now at DevonAmphitheater.com. Sister Hazel with special guest Deep Blue Something live at the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater May 31st.
For 24 years, the Community Foundation of Macon County has connected the philanthropic goals of donors with community needs. This is Chris Lutt, Foundation Board Chair, and I'm honored to share that we have a new name, the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation. We've grown to over 400 funds established by individuals, families, businesses, agencies, and organizations to benefit a variety of community causes. Because of donor generosity, we've surpassed $50 million in awarded grants and scholarships. And in addition to serving Macon County, we've now grown to serve neighboring counties, Piatt and Moultrie, in the heart of central Illinois. We're creating a better future through philanthropy that allows us all to live, learn, work, and thrive. If you are interested in learning how you can work with the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, call today at 217-429-3000 or visit our website at heartofillinois.org.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
By the way, the Illinois law on that isn't about your right to get on a plane and travel. It is, it's proven that firefighters and ambulances and EMS and police have been blocked from service because of closing down roadways. That's the reason why the law exists. You paid for those highways as a taxpayer, and someone else can't take the EMS's route to your house and prevent it from coming through. That's how it was put into law, by the way, just in case you're interested. So Tampa, a couple of years ago, they had a fenced off area where the RNC itself was held. And then another larger fenced off area that surrounded that. And then checkpoints along every point of the way. It was a pain, even doing a 6 a.m. morning show, right, to get into past the guards, the dogs, the, you know. And we were there for 3 days, didn't see a single protester. They were all there, but they were so far out on the perimeter, I don't think anybody that attended that convention saw them at all. Now, sometimes they're there to put pressure on whoever it is attending. Mostly it's about getting TV coverage or news coverage, and it doesn't matter whether you're actually seeing them at the convention or not. Media is probably going to give them exposure, right?
Sure.
So I don't know what the number is. Like, are you trying to be seen by the politicians and the people who are there at the DNC in Chicago this summer, or is your presence there for the larger audience, which is the consumer? But they've set it up before where you'll see on TV, look at all these raging protests. It's not within 3 football fields of what's going on at the convention. It looked like something out of like Escape from New York.
Sure. Or like the outer rings of the Pentagon versus the inner.
Right. I mean, it was just crazy. And Hurricane Isaac had come through and it was just pouring down rain. And, you know, you had to wheel in equipment and all that had to be sniffed out by dogs and searched. And, you know, guys with machine guns.
Wow.
Like at 5 a.m. in the pouring down rain.
Good morning.
It was a mess. But we didn't see any of the protests, nor did any of the other people who were actually attending the convention. But on TV at night, it looked like they were everywhere, running over Tampa. So I don't know what they can do in Chicago. Chicago's a little different beast. You know, Tampa doesn't have like gigantic downtown, right? It's a little easier to cordon off things, and there's a little more space. But we'll see what it looks like this summer. I can't imagine it's going to be anything but a headache for the people who have to organize all of that. I mean, not the convention people, the police, fire, right?
Sure.
You have to allow the people their right to do their thing, but you also can't at the same time deprive people of essential services if that's needed either. And that just becomes a gigantic nightmare. I wouldn't want that job.
It's a lot of sorting out.
All right, what else is going on this week? We want to give away some Cardinals tickets, right?
Yeah, we can do that.
We have Saturday and Sunday, the 20th and 21st.
Nice.
Brewers in town. Looks like a
first place Brewers.
Yeah, well, don't have to rub that in. 1:15 is the start time I have. You always need to check because sometimes those change between the tickets. Now, do we physically have tickets or
no?
Are we,
all right, you've got to have the MLB ballpark app. Not call unless you have that.
It's or are willing to get it.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think we can just...
Not a friend of a friend. We've been down that road too much.
Okay, so you have to have the acuity to actually download the MLB free app because that's the way you buy baseball tickets today.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with us or our choice or anything else. That's just the way it works. Now, once you do it, it's really easy.
Easy.
Yep. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, that's right.
Just don't be afraid.
Exactly right.
All right. What caller would you like to do for the first pair? This is the Saturday pair, 1:15 versus the Brewers.
Let's do caller 7 in honor of Matt Holliday.
Yeah.
And his son being one of the most popular players in the league.
And that number 7 being the first time being worn in the Baltimore organization since Cal Ripken Sr. It's been a while. All right. Caller number 7-217-875-1340. Courtesy of First Mid. A pair of tickets to see the Cardinals in action this Saturday. Courtesy of First Mid. All right. That's it for us. If you missed any of the show today, podcasts are driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group. You can get them anywhere you get your podcast. Just go to nowdecatur.com. Got an action-packed show tomorrow. We'll have our Decatur Park District Spotlight. Our friends from Milliken will be in, and we'll have another pair of tickets to give away for the Cardinals Sunday game. That's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Stay dry.
WSOY Decatur and W277DB Decatur. WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. Macon County State's Attorney Scott Reeder has determined that the use of force in the March 18th officer-involved shooting was necessary. The state's attorney was required to determine if there was criminal liability on the part of the officers involved. DPD has also determined the shooting was justified after their own investigation. 38-year-old Rocky Dupin was shot and killed after pulling a weapon during an arrest. The weapon turned out to be a realistic replica. The Rockhounds of Central and Southern Illinois will host their annual Rock and Gem Show at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel Saturday and Sunday. The event goes from 10 to 5 on Saturday and 10 to 4.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.